trees.
Buck Benny, the two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Tonight's episode of the Jack Benny Show is special for a few reasons. One is that they mention the Screen Guild Theater performance that Jack will be on. And so if you tune in right after this, we'll have that podcast for you of the Screen Guild performance written by Ed Bloyne and Bill Morrow. So it feels like a Jack Benny episode in some ways, just without his regular cast members and with a bunch of guest stars, sort of. So make sure you tune in for that interesting show. This show, to me, does a great job of nailing down Jack Benny's character and why we care so much about him. In him trading in the Maxwell, and I don't want to give too much away, but basically you end up seeing a sentimentality that goes through the core of the Benny character that makes the public, I think, really love this man and care for him. And Jack is such a... oftentimes Jack's referred to as a great actor and not so much a great comedian. And I think that acting comes across in his comedy, but also in more subtle... performances that he can bring in through the comedy. And I think that's what he does tonight when you when you'll hear the part of the episode that's about him trading in the Maxwell. Anyway, I hope you enjoy this episode. I really did. It has some great stuff in here. Certainly Rochester's line about being black in the face is interesting, and you don't hear that often on the Jack Benny shows, that direct of a reference made to Rochester's race. But if you listen to enough of the shows, you start picking up on more and more things where they're referring to Rochester's race, and this is just one of the more direct ones. Anyway, hope you enjoy the episode, and like I say, tune in to the Guild Theater after this. And we'll see you on Friday for Fibber McGee and Molly and hopefully some Fred Allen. Enjoy.
J-E-L-L-O.
The Jell-O program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens a program with The Sun Will Be Up in the Morning. Today, ladies and gentlemen, the word Jell-O means more than it ever did before. Today, it not only stands for Jell-O, America's favorite gelatin dessert, it also means Jell-O puddings, those three swell, ready-prepared puddings that have now been added to the popular Jell-O family. Both Jell-O and Jell-O puddings are unsurpassed for rich, tempting flavor. Both are easy and inexpensive to serve and delightfully good. And both bear that famous name, Jell-O, a name that stands for tops in quality. A name that spells extra enjoyment and complete satisfaction. As you know, Jell-O is a trademark, the property of General Foods. So be sure to mention it whenever you ask the grocer for Jell-O puddings or any of Jell-O's six delicious flavors, strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, or lime. And by the way, if you haven't enjoyed strawberry or raspberry Jell-O recently, do so real soon. Because now they taste better than ever. Each has a new improved flavor obtained by using a natural flavor base artificially enhanced. And that's what gives those two popular flavors that rich, distinctive Jell-O goodness, the goodness that made Jell-O America's favorite gelatin dessert. The Sun Will Be Up in the Morning, played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, this being the hottest week of the year in Southern California, we bring you a man who can hardly stand it in his long underwear, Jack Benny.
Thank you. Thank you. It itches. Jello again. This is Jack Benny talking. And, Don, let me tell you about my underwear. I don't care what the thermometer says. I'm strictly a calendar man. When the swallows return to Capistrano, my longies come back to me. But you're right, Don. It has been a terribly hot week.
Why, in the valley where I live, it was sweltering.
Well, everybody's been complaining about the heat in Beverly Hills, too. Although, when I woke up yesterday morning, there was a little red man with a tail and a pitchfork sitting at the foot of my bed, and he said, this is nothing, buddy. I didn't like him calling me buddy. Anyway, this has really been torrid weather.
Well, Jack, the only thing to do when it's like this is just sit back and take it easy.
Take it easy? Why, Don, this is the busiest week I've ever had. And you know what my schedule was today, don't you?
No, what?
Well, at 4 o'clock, I did our first Jell-O broadcast. Then I had to rush over and do the Screen Guild program. Then home to dinner. Then back here to do this repeat Jell-O show. And immediately afterwards, I've got to do the second program for the Guild.
My goodness.
And at 11 o'clock, I've got to MC the opening of that new chili bowl in Tarzana. I tell you, Don, if it wasn't for vitamin B1 and the cigarettes Phil's drummer gives me, I doubt that I'd be able to carry on. Really, Don, if it... I'm not kidding, that vitamin B1 sure helps.
Vitamin B1? Well, do those pills really help you, Jack?
Oh, they're marvelous, and how they pep you up. Why, Don... You remember how I used to walk in my sleep night after night?
I sure do.
Well, now I run like a deer. And, Don, I owe it all to vitamin B.
Oh, Jack, you and your pills.
Oh, hello, Mary.
Pills to go to sleep, pills to wake up, vitamin B, vitamin D, throat gargle, cough syrup.
All right.
Your bathroom looks like a sale at Sontag.
Now, wait a minute, Mary. All the stuff I've got in my medicine chest, I have good use for.
Oh, sure. Why, Don, he's got everything from corn plasters to toothache drops.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Your teeth will never ache again, brother.
Now, listen, Mary, there's no use being silly, and you can stop with those gags, because I haven't got false teeth.
Then why is it you never let people slap you on the back?
Because I'm tender, that's why. To hear you talk, you'd think I... Oh, hello, Phil.
Hiya, Jackson. Boy, have I got a pip for you.
I'll bet.
Get a load of this one. I made it up myself. What's a... This'll kill you, Jackson.
All right, get to it.
What's a twack?
A twack? I don't know, Phil. What's a twack?
It's something a twain one's on. I'm hotter than the weather tonight, folks.
It's too hot for that kind of stuff, if that's what you mean.
Say, Jackson, wasn't that a scorcher this week, though?
Sure was. Why, in Beverly Hills, it was just like an oven.
Well, you live close to Santa Monica. Why didn't you go down to the beach?
Oh, I was too busy.
Yeah, Jack had to stay home and take care of his lemonade stand.
It's not my lemonade stand. A couple of children came to the door and asked if they could sell lemonade on my front lawn. What do you expect me to do, turn those little kids down?
No, but you didn't have to make them sign a 99-year lease.
Oh, quiet. Now, Mary, I've got a very tough schedule today with all my broadcasts, so don't annoy me.
Oh, that's right, Jackson. I read where you're doing the Screen Guild show today, too. Kind of a tough grind, ain't it?
You said it. If it wasn't for vitamin B1...
Don't listen to him, Phil. He's got a pill for everything and all kinds of medicine.
All right.
Jack thinks there's always something the matter with him.
Oh, a hypodermiac, hey?
Hypodermiac? That's hypochondriac, and I'm nothing of the kind. I just believe in taking precautions. Well, I go to a doctor twice a month for a checkup, whether I feel bad or not.
Well, that's the silliest thing I ever heard of.
Oh, yeah?
Now, take me. I've never been to a doctor in my life.
Well, don't go, brother. You've got a shock coming. No kidding, Phil. No, Phil, really, did you ever take a good look at yourself in a mirror?
Yes, and I'm gorgeous.
Oh. Well, I should have had my head examined for asking that one.
Hey, Jack.
What?
Here comes anemic on the outside.
Oh, yes. Hello, Dennis. How do you feel?
I'm fine, thank you. Say, Mr. Benny. Have you heard this one that's going around? What's a twack?
Oh, you too, eh? All right, Dennis, what's a twack?
Mr. Harris won't tell me. Must be risque.
Well, he told me that bright answer, so for your information, Dennis, a twack is something a train runs on.
That's twain, twain! You root my gag.
All right, Phil, I rooted. I'm sorry. Say, Dennis, I meant to ask you, you didn't forget to go down and register last Wednesday, did you?
No, I was there, but I don't get it, Mr. Benny. What's it for?
What's it for? Dennis, you signed up for conscription in a national emergency. If you're drafted, you get a year's training, your room and board, and $21 a month.
$21 a month?
Yes, sir.
I'll take it up with my manager.
Your manager has nothing to do with this. Say, Phil, you registered, didn't you?
Yeah, and so did all the boys in my band.
That's swell.
That is, everybody but my guitar player.
Oh. Why, is he over 35?
No, he made up that joke about the twack.
Well, they won't take him because that automatically makes him a moron. Say, Dennis.
Yes, please?
We're about ready for a song. Have you got something nice prepared for us?
Yeah, I'm going to sing Trade Winds.
That's Trade Winds. Stay away from Harris. Sing, kid. Phil, why don't you buy a new joke book?
Sweetly from the sea. Oh, trade winds, can you blow love back to me? Down where the trade winds play, down where you lose a day. We found a new world where paradise starts. We traded far, way down where the trade winds play. Music was everywhere. Flowers were in her hair. Under an awning of silvery boughs, we traded vows the night that I sailed away. Oh, trade winds, what a vow that love has made. Oh, trade winds, are they again? I'll sail away again. Though I'm returning, it won't be the same. She traded her name.
That was Trade Winds, sung by Dennis Day. And Dennis, that was terrific.
Thank you.
Your voice positively thrilled me. All right, Don. Don.
Oh, Jack, it's so ridiculous.
Don, Dennis's voice positively thrilled me.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, the next time you wander to your neighborhood grocer, be sure to ask him for a package of tempting and appetizing Jawol.
Jawol, that's right.
It is not only economical and easy to make, but comes in 60 wishes flavors.
Swing it, kid.
So always look for the big red letters on the box. They spell Jawol. J-E-W-W-O.
There.
Darn you, Jack Benny.
Now, Don, that was a real cute idea of mine. And I'll tell you one thing. Anytime you get a novelty and you don't take advantage of it... Answer the phone, Mary.
Okay.
And you don't take advantage of it, you're silly.
Hello? Yes? Yes, Mr. Sanders, he's right here. For you, Jack. Mark Sanders of Paramount.
Oh, my director. Having a little more trouble with him. Hello? Yes, Mr. Sandridge. Well, now, look, we've been all through that before, and I don't want to be stubborn, but my name has got to be first on the screen. I don't care what that worm said. He's in New York, and I'm here. Take care of the local boy. Now, look, Mr. Sandridge, that's my ultimatum. So think it over. Goodbye.
What's the matter, Jack?
Oh, it's that picture I just finished with Fred Allen. Allen wants his name first.
Quite a ham, huh?
Quite a ham. Don, you don't know what that guy Allen went through to try and be better than I am in the picture. Why, he studied his lines all night long. He hired 4 or 5 extra writers. He took dramatic lessons. Why, he even bribed the cameraman to try and make him look better than me on the screen. And for what? A lot of good it did him.
Yeah, if he thinks he's going to steal that picture from Rochester, he's nuts.
Not going to steal it from anybody. You know what burns me up? I give the best years of my life to Paramount.
Incidentally, Jack, I do the Maxwell House program with Mary Martin, your leading lady in the picture, and she had a lot of nice things to say about you.
Oh. Well, Mary is an awfully sweet girl, and she's swell to work with.
Thanks.
I don't mean you. I'm talking about Mary Martin. You know, she's from Weatherford, Texas. Are you acquainted with Miss Martin, Phil?
Jackson, there ain't a gal in, from, or passing through that state. I don't know.
The only one you know is Galveston Gertie. Always bragging, huh?
Say, Mr. Benny, what? I've never been in Texas. Are the girls really so beautiful down there?
Yes, they are, Dennis, and there are thousands of them. Each one prettier than the other.
Then why do cowboys always sing such lonesome songs?
They're trying to fool us, Dennis. They don't want any competition. But getting back to Mary Martin, I really made an impression on that girl. Why, do you know in the picture she sings a chorus of My Heart Belongs to Daddy, and she sings it right to me. See, I love that part where she looks at me and goes, dad, 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 dad.
She hates to say it, huh?
Go on, she loves it. Well, anyway, you'll see it on the screen. Say, Phil, I don't want to give any away any more of the plot, so how about ripping through a band number in your own inimitable, thank heaven, style?
Okay, Jackson, we're going to play a
swell... Who cares? Play. Wait a minute. Come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
I listened to your program last Sunday, and I resent all the slurs cast upon my name.
Slurs? Who are you?
Puerile J. Banal. Goodbye.
I bet I know what that J stands for. Play, Phil.
Thank you.
That was The World Is In My Arms, played by Phil Harris and his Gypsy Orchestra. Gypsy meaning, if he calls that an orchestra, it's a gyp. See? that's almost as bad as the twain on the twack, isn't it, Phil?
Bad nothing. That's a Lulu.
Oh, fine.
How much you want for that gag, Jackson?
Oh, Phil, I couldn't sell it.
I could.
I said sell. You can have the gag for nothing, Phil. Say, Don, as I told you before, I've got to rush over and do that Screen Guild broadcast, so maybe I better run along now and get everything set.
Are you directing it?
No, Ernst Lubitsch will be there, but I'm doing a dramatic play with Claudette Colbert, Basil Rathbone, and Edward Arnold.
You're in pretty fast company, ain't you, Joe?
Tune in, Mo, and you'll find out. Well, I'm going to run along, Don. Rochester's waiting downstairs for me in the Maxwell.
The Maxwell? I thought you traded that car in last week.
Well, I intended to, Phil, but I decided to wait.
Tell him what really happened.
Never mind.
What was it, Barry?
Well...
Look, I'm very busy. If you think I'm going to hang around and hear you run down my car again, you're crazy. Goodbye.
So long, Jack.
Gee, that guy's burned up. What happened, Mary?
Well, it was this way. I was over to Jack's house last Monday, and I finally persuaded him to trade in the Maxwell.
Uh-huh.
Well, anyway, after a long argument, we got in the car and started toward Hollywood. And all the way over, Jack was changing his mind.
Rochester, take it easy.
Okay, boss.
You know, I hate to trade this car in, Mary.
Now, don't back out. Say, Jack, what kind of allowance do you think they'll give you on the Maxwell?
Well, if I can get $700... No, really, I'll be happy.
$700?
Yes, this car's got a lot of extras on it. Seat covers, radio, cigarette lighter.
Don't forget the angle. We ain't got no brakes.
The brakes are all right.
Boy, what a rattle trap.
It's not a rattle trap.
Miss Livingston's right, boss. This car vibrates so much I can't keep my socks up.
Your socks.
All right, our socks.
That's more like it, and stay out of them.
Say, Jack.
What?
Which one of the new models are you going to look at?
Oh, I don't know, Mary. I can't make up my mind whether to get a Rio or a Chandler.
A Rio or a Chandler?
Yes.
Say, Jack, did you read the news?
What news?
Queen Isabella's that way about Columbus.
Now, cut that out. Don't be funny.
Why, Jack, they haven't made a Rio or a Chandler in years.
They haven't.
I told him that till I was black in the face.
Well, I'll find a good car. Now, Rochester, turn down here on Hollywood Boulevard. We'll come to Automobile Row.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Now what?
I should have stopped there.
Well, you're just lucky that a policeman... Oh, fine. Stop the car, Rochester. I knew this would happen.
Is that a policeman coming toward us?
It ain't an usher from the Pantages. Now, let me do the talking, Rochester.
What can you say without your riders?
I'll get by, don't worry. Oh, good morning, officer.
Hey, don't you know it's against the law to turn left on a red light?
Yes, but...
I'm going to give you a nice little ticket.
But, officer, I came to Hollywood to trade in my car.
This car?
Yes.
Well, you haven't got a minute to lose. Drive on, buddy.
Thanks. Go ahead, Rochester. Wise guy. Got a good mind to go back and tell that cop a thing or two. Now, Rochester, there's the Packard agency over on your left.
Well, we can go right by there.
Now, wait a minute. Pull into the service entrance.
Why, boss, are you thinking about buying a new Packard?
I certainly am.
There's vitamin D for you.
It's not the pills. I just feel like buying a Packard. Stop the car. Come on, Mary. You too, Rochester. I want you to help me pick one out and get a good trade.
Okay.
Rochester, put that door back on. Quick, quick, before the man comes. Quick, quick, quick! There. Come on, let's go in the showroom. Wow, look at these beautiful new cars.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. I'm in the market for a car.
Phaeton, Phaeton, or Schmaeton?
Well, Well, I'm really, really interested in a convertible coupe.
I see. Right over here is our 1941 model. It has the automatic top.
Oh, yes.
You just press a button and the top goes up and down.
Well. What are you laughing at?
Your top does that without a button.
Oh, no, it isn't. Now, mister, I'm very much interested in the convertible. That is, if we can get together on a trade.
I see. Well, what year car are you driving now? Is it a 1940?
No.
1939?
No.
1938?
No.
1937?
I'm going out to eat. This will take all day.
Rochester. As a matter of fact, mister, it's a 1921 Maxwell.
I beg your pardon?
I said it's a Maxwell.
Is that a Swiss movement?
No, it's a Maxwell car, and it's in excellent condition.
Well, I'll have to have it appraised. Oh, Mr. Vandermeer.
Yeah, Mr. Collins.
Will you go outside and appraise this gentleman's car?
It's a Maxwell. You can't miss it. It says, "Beat me, Daddy, 8 to the bar." On it. Now, please, I'm in a hurry.
Okay.
The car is really in swell shape, Mr. Collins. It's always been chauffeur-driven.
What's the mileage on it?
Well, the speedometer says 12,000 miles.
You can't go by that, boss. When the speedometer reads 50, we're going 30 miles an hour.
Rochester.
And when it reads 60, it's 2:30.
Rochester, there's no time to be flippant. Well, Mr. Collins, how much will this Packard cost me?
Well, of course, that depends on how much we can allow you on your old car. Here comes Mr. Vandermeer now.
Good.
Oh, Mr. Vandermeer, did you look over this gentleman's car?
Yes, sir.
Well, what do you think?
I didn't like it!
Now, wait a minute. Don't be too hasty. Did you crawl under my car and take a good look?
Not me. I've got a wife and kids.
Not so dangerous. Now, Mr. Collins, I think my Maxwell is worth $700.
And he doesn't drink.
Quiet. Now, what do you think, Mr. Collins?
Well, the best I can possibly offer you on such an old car is $40.
$40?
Now, Jack, don't argue about it. You're getting a break, believe me.
Well, what do you think, Rochester? Is $40 fair?
Boss, that's fair, just, unbiased, liberal, generous, and hand me a dictionary.
Oh, all right. I'll get my checkbook. How much do I owe you, Mr. Collins?
Let me see. With all the standard accessories, less your $40 allowance, that comes to
$1,450. $1,450, eh? Okay, I'll make out the check. Packard Motor Company, $1,400.
Hey, what'll I do with the old Maxwell, Mr. Collins?
Nothing you can do. Just take it out and junk it.
And 50... Junk it? What did you say about the Maxwell, Mr. Collins?
I said we'll have to junk it.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Collins. That car's got a lot of life in it yet.
Oh, make out the check, Jack.
Mary, he can't take that little old Maxwell out and junk it. Just throw it on a pile of old scrap metal.
Oh, Jack.
No, he can't do it.
Now, Mr. Benny, I didn't mean to.
I don't care what you meant, Mr. Collins. I heard you tell that man to junk my car. Well, I won't stand for it, you hear? I won't stand for it.
What are you going to do, boss?
We're getting in that Maxwell, Rochester, and we're going home. I'm sorry, Mr. Collins. The deal is off. Come on, Mary. Junk my little Maxwell. Must have been mad to even think of parting with it. Get in the car, Mary.
Okay.
All right, Rochester, let's go.
Yes, boss.
Oh, boy, listen to that motor purr. I should have had my head examined for wanting to trade in little Maxie.
There goes the tire, boss.
Doggone it, that's the third one this week. Trouble, nothing but trouble with this piece of junk. Someday I'm going to trade it in.
Friends, how would you like to plan and prepare almost 1,100 meals a year? Well, if you're the average housewife, that's exactly what you do. No doubt about it, thinking up new ideas for that many menus is no small job. So just to help out a bit, we'd like to pass along a quick, easy suggestion for tomorrow's dessert. It's called Cardinal Pear Mold, and it's a combination of delicious pears and bright red cherry Jell-O. Better yet, it's as simple as it is satisfying. To make it, just prepare one package of cherry Jell-O, as you usually do, and add 1/8 teaspoon of powdered ginger. Then mold, and before serving, garnish with sections of fresh or canned pears. The result is a bang-up good dessert, one that everybody will like, and one that costs almost nothing to make in the way of effort or expense. So for tomorrow night's dinner, try this grand new Jell-O idea, Cardinal Pear Mold, a vivid blend of sweet, juicy pears and rich, crimson cherry Jell-O.
This is the last number of the third program in the current Jell-O series, and we'll be with you again next Sunday night at the same time.
Hey, Mary, let's go home and hear Jack Screengill's show.
Did he say he's going to do a dramatic sketch with Claudette Colbert?
Yeah, what does he want anyway? Good night, folks.
J-E-L-L-O.
News for thrifty housewives. Log Cabin Syrup for less money. All three sizes now selling at lowest prices in history. Ask your grocer about his new low prices. Remember, same luscious Log Cabin Syrup. Same high quality, same mellow flavor. Only the price has changed. Tomorrow, buy Log Cabin Syrup at the new low price. The lowest ever. This is the National Broadcasting.
Hello again, this is Buck Benny speaking. We have a great double feature for you tonight. We had the Jack Benny show earlier from 70 years ago this week. And now we have Screen Guild Theater from the same night 70 years ago this week. And Jack referred to it on his show that he would be on Screen Guild. And this Screen Guild show is written by Bill Morrow and Ed Beloine, the regular writers for the Jack Benny show. And you can tell, I mean, it feels like a Benny script. And so it's a neat show to bring you. I love bringing the shows from exactly, you know, 70 years ago, 60 years ago. And when they mention something, an appearance Jack's making or so forth, that I try and bring that to you as well. I think it adds some context to both shows. So anyway, I hope you enjoy tonight's show. I've both of them very funny tonight, very well done. Bill Morrow and Ed Beloine are just great writers, so I hope you enjoy both shows. I was going to mention on the Jack Benny show, there's a reference to Rochester says he's black in the face over something. And I was thinking, that's one of the few times that you really hear Rochester's race brought into the Jack Benny show. I mean, it happens every once in a while, but not that direct that often. But certainly some of the episodes do that as well. So you can listen for that in the Jack Benny show that was on before this. And we will see you tomorrow for some Fibber McGee and Molly and perhaps some Fred Allen. I'm still trying to figure out what I'm doing with that. He skipped an episode, but we'll deal with that. So, see you tomorrow.
Claudette Colbert, Edward Arnold, Basil Rathbone, Anne Slubich, and maybe Jack Benny.
The Gulf Screen Guild Theater. Your host, the director of the Star's Own Theater, Roger Pryor.
Good evening, everyone. On behalf of your neighborhood Good Gulf dealer and the Gulf Oil Companies, welcome to the Gulf Screen Guild Theater. For our guests tonight, we have Claudette Colbert, Edward Arnold, Basil Rathbone, and Ernst Lubitsch, four of filmdom's outstanding personalities who will offer
us... Say, just a minute, Roger. I thought Jack Benny was supposed to be one of the guests here tonight.
Jack Benny? Well, he was, Bud, but he got a little temperamental and hard to handle, so...
Say, I wonder.
Could he be mad at me?
No, Bud. I know the real story.
Well, he could be. You know, I sent some photographers to his house.
But Benny likes to have his picture taken.
That's it. They didn't take Benny's picture. They took Carmichael's, Benny's polar bear.
Oh, but why?
Well, you see, the Gulf people were getting up a sign that said, "Laugh at Winter," and they wanted Carmichael to pose for the picture of a big white polar bear on the sign.
Well, that sounds okay to me.
But Jack insisted that they use pictures of him in a fur coat instead.
Oh, now, Jack isn't the kind of a fellow to begrudge a polar bear a little publicity.
A little publicity? Why, you'll see that laughing white polar bear sign outside every Gulf station in the country. And when you do see it, remember that winter is just around the corner, and that right now is not a minute too soon to prepare for winter, to change your motor oil for winter-grade Gulf Pride motor oil. Gulf Pride is the motor oil made by the famous Alclor process that only Gulf uses. Gulf Pride helps give you a quick starting motor and real engine protection, both when your motor is cold and after it warms up. Be sure to stop soon at the sign of the Gulf Orange Disc, where you see the picture of the laughing white bear for Gulf Pride motor oil.
That was good advice, Bud. But now about Jack Benny. You see, Jack wanted to be on the show in the worst way, but we tried to explain to him that this season we're going to do a dramatic series, and he just wouldn't fit in. We had an awful time convincing him.
Well, I thought the Guild had asked Jack to appear in this broadcast.
Oh, no, it's the other way around. We didn't ask him. He asked us.
Well, Jack said that we...
But it's a long story. Now, let me explain the whole thing. When Jack found out that Ernst Lubitsch was going to direct Claudette Colbert and Basil Rathbone in a dramatic sketch, right away he wanted to muscle in on it. So he called up Edward Arnold, president of the Screen Actors Guild, and tried to sell himself. The way I understand it, Arnold had an awful time convincing Jack.
But look, Mr. Arnold, there's no reason why I shouldn't be on this show. Gee, when else will I get a chance to act with Claudette Colbert?
Jack, I've been trying to explain to you that the play is all set and the cast is complete. Now, let's make it some other time.
Now, you don't have to beat around the bush, Mr. Arnold. Look, if you don't want me on this show, just tell me. All I want is a simple answer, yes or no.
No.
Now, wait a minute. I can tell from your attitude, Mr. Arnold, that this is a personal matter. What have you got against me?
I haven't got anything against you, Jack. But you're a comedian, and frankly, I don't think you have enough dramatic ability to play the lead opposite Miss Colbert.
What do you mean I can't be dramatic? You ever see me when I was worried? Why, I'm only 32, and I've got gray hair.
You're only what?
I've got gray hair, can't you hear? Now, look, Mr. Arnold, I'm not going to beg to be on this program, and let's get this settled one way or the other. Is it yes or no?
Definitely no.
Well, who can I speak to besides you about this? There must be somebody.
Well, Jack, there's only one suggestion I can make. Get in touch with Ernst Lubitsch. He's going to direct the play.
Gee, Lubitsch.
And if it's all right with him, it's all right with me.
Well, thanks. I'll call him right away. By the way, what's Mr. Lubitsch's telephone number?
Ulrich, 8900.
And wait till I write it down. Ulrich. Hey, that's the number you call to get the correct time. Now look, Mr. Arnold. Hello? Operator, I was cut off.
That's what you think, kid.
Oh, I'm sorry. Fine president of the Screen Actors Guild. I got a good mind to run against him. Now, let's see, where can I get Lubitsch's number? Oh, here's a telephone book right here. No, miss. I want to talk to Mr. Lubitsch personally.
Who's calling, please?
Benny, Jack Benny.
Yes, sir. Is it about insurance or something?
No, it's about acting. Now, please, have Mr. Lubitsch come to the phone.
Do you think he will?
I don't know. Let's find out. Ask him.
Yes, sir.
Insurance yet. I haven't sold a policy since Paramount picked up my option. In the first... Hello, Mr. Lubitsch, this is... Oh, he's not there yet. What's the matter with me, anyway?
Hello?
Gee, you think that I... Oh, hello! Hello, Mr. Lubitsch, this is Jack. I'm calling you about that Gulf show you're directing next week, and I was wondering if there was a part in it for me.
Jack who?
Oh, pardon me, Benny, Jack Benny. Remember, we met once at a party at Barbara Stanwyck's house.
Yes?
You know, the girl that's married to Robert Taylor.
Well, I know her and I know him. But who are you?
I'm Benny, Jack Benny.
Oh, the radio comedian, uh-huh.
Hooray, I sunk in. Now, here's the situation, Mr. Lubitsch. I just spoke to Edward Arnold, president of the Screen Actors Guild, whom, incidentally, I'm running against next year. And Mr. Arnold said if it was okay with you, I could be on the program.
But, Mr. Benny, this is a serious, dramatic play, and I'm afraid there is no part in it for you.
But why not?
Well, you're a comedian. What can I do with you in the drama?
Look, Mr. Lubitsch, if you can make Garbo laugh, you can make me cry. Well, I can do drama. Gee, I made a picture once called College Holiday. I didn't get one laugh in it. Now what do you say?
I'm glad I didn't see it.
Very funny. Now, Mr. Lubitsch, let's not beat around the bush. I want a definite answer. Is it yes or no?
Brace yourself.
Now, Mr. Lubitsch, I know I haven't given you enough time to think this over, so I'll call you back later.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. There is no use taking up each other's time. Basil Rathbone is playing opposite to that Kolber, and there's nothing I can do about it.
Well, why can't we make it a triangle? Why can't he be her husband and I her lover?
Who would believe that?
Plenty of people. It can be worked out, don't worry.
Now, well, Jack, I'm very busy right now. Call up Miss Colbert, and if it's all right with her, it's okay with me.
Thank you, I'll do that. Oh, what's Miss Colbert's telephone number?
Ulrich!
Never mind, I'll get it myself. Goodbye. Some director really tries to get me in a picture sometime. Oh, well. Now, let's see. Colbert. Oh, Miss Colbert isn't home right now, eh? Do you know where I can reach her?
You might telephone Westmore's Beauty Parlor in Hollywood. I'm quite sure you can get her there.
Thank you very much. Goodbye. Hello, Westmore Brothers? This is Jack Benny.
Sorry, Mr. Benny, your toupee isn't ready yet.
I don't want my toupee. I'd like to speak to Claudette Colbert. Is she there?
I don't know. Hey, Wally, is Claudette Colbert here?
I don't know. Hey, Purge, is Claudette Colbert here?
I don't know. Hey, say!
Never mind. Let it go. I'll wait until she gets home. Hello? I'd like to speak to Miss Colbert, please.
This is Miss Colbert speaking.
Oh, hello, Claudette. Guess who this is?
Well, really, I haven't the slightest idea.
Oh, come on, yes.
Oh, now, look.
Look, Claudette. Who has the dressing room next to yours at Paramount?
Oh, hello, Dorothy.
Dorothy, I'm not L'Amour. Look, Dorothy's dressing room is on one side of you. Now, who's on the other side?
That's a washroom.
Only part of it. Claudette, look, this is Jack Benny.
Oh, hello, Jack.
Hello.
Look, Jack, I haven't decided yet about those Christmas cards, but if you'll call a little later.
It's not the Christmas cards. There's no rush on them. Listen, Claudette, I called you up to tell you that I saw Boomtown the other night, and I want to congratulate you on your grand performance.
Oh, thanks, Jack.
You were really marvelous. I thought your characterization, your sincerity, and your emotional qualities in Boomtown surpassed anything I have ever seen on the screen.
Well, that's more oil than there was in the picture.
No, I'm serious, Claudette. It was a great performance. Now, let's see. There was something else I wanted to speak to you about. Oh, yes. Yeah, look, Claudette. Mr. Lubitsch suggested I call you about the Gulf show next Sunday.
Yes?
Have you any objection to my playing the part of your husband in the sketch?
Oh, well, I understood Basil Russell was playing the part.
Well, he was scheduled to, but if you want me, all you've got to do is speak up. I said, all you've got to do is speak up. Claudette, are you there?
Yes.
Oh. I wish you'd think this over because it would really be a wonderful break for both of us.
Especially me.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. Let's say it'll do us both a lot of good, shall we?
Would you mind hanging up?
Now, wait a minute, Claudette. How about the idea?
On a
Mr. Jack, I really have nothing to do with it. Why don't you call Edward Arnold president of the Screen Actors Guild?
He won't be next year. I did call him, and it's up to you. Now, look, Claudette, I've got another idea. Why can't I...
Will you please deposit 5 cents for an additional 3 minutes?
3 minutes already? Just a second. Would you mind dropping a nickel in, Claudette?
Jack, I don't have a payphone in my house.
Oh, well, that's right. What am I thinking of?
Do I get that nickel, or do I have to cut you off?
Now, don't get excited. Here, I found one. There. No more 3 minutes than a man in the moon. Doesn't seem like we've been talking for 3 minutes, does it, Claudette?
You ought to be on this end.
Well, to come to the point, Claudette, here's what I was going to ask you. When do you start rehearsing for the play?
Tomorrow night at my house, but, Jack, I don't think you
At your house, eh? What time?
8 o'clock, but really, Jack, I don't
think
you ought to...
8 o'clock. Well, thanks, Claudette. See you tomorrow night. I'll read the part, and Rathbone will read the part, and may the best man win. That's fair enough, isn't it?
Kind of sticking your chin out, aren't you, Junior?
We'll see. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, by the way, Claudette, shall I come for dinner? Oh, well, some other time.
While Jack is on his way to Claudette Colbert's house, here's Frank Tours conducting Oscar Bradley's Gulf Orchestra in the Continental, Frank's own special arrangement. Anyway, Bud, the next night, about 7:30, Jack showed up at Claudette Colbert's house. I wasn't there, of course, but the way I understand it, when Jack arrived, Miss Colbert was still having dinner. So the butler opened the door and...
Right this way, Mr. Benny. I'll show you into the drawing room.
Well, thanks.
Mr. Rathbone is here already.
Oh, he is. One of those anxious guys, eh? Say, this is a lovely home. Lovely.
May I take your umbrella, Mr. Benny?
Oh, yes. Yes, I... I should have left it out in the hall. You know, it looked like rain. Well, well, Mr. Rathbone. I'm Jack Benny, the movie star.
How do you do?
How do you do? So the two rivals meet, eh?
Rivals? What do you mean?
Well, perhaps I should let Claudette tell you, but it looks like I'm taking your place on the Gulf Show next Sunday.
Oh, that's ridiculous, old boy.
Oh, no, no, it isn't. You see, at rehearsal tonight, you and I are both going to read the part, and of course, the best man will win.
The best man?
Yes.
Mr. Benny, when only two people are involved in a statement, the comparative is used. You don't say the best man will win, you say the better man will win.
Oh.
Now, if three or more people are involved, then the word best is the correct adjective.
I see.
So before we compete for this part, Mr. Benny, it might be as well if you first learned how to speak English.
Well, thanks for the lesson, Madame Lazanga. For your information, Mr. Rathbone, I went to Waukegan High School 4 years, and I excelled in English. In fact, I got 99 every single term.
Ain't that interesting?
Now, cut that out! And getting back to the subject, the way the script is written now, you play the part of Miss Colbert's husband. Is that correct?
That's correct and final.
That remains to be seen. I've heard of sore losers in my life, but this guy certainly takes the cake.
Step right in here, Mr. Lubitsch. Miss Colbert will be with you shortly.
Thank you. Oh, hello, Barson.
And Stowboy, how are you?
Fine, fine.
Hello, Mr. Lubitsch.
What are you doing here?
Well, I thought I'd just drop around to see.
Now, listen, Ernst. I don't know what this is all about. I demand an explanation.
Look, Mr. Rathbone.
Explanation?
Look, Mr. Lubitsch.
I thought I was to appear opposite Miss Colbert.
Look, Mr. Rathbone.
Of course you were.
Look, Mr. Lubitsch.
Then what is all this about?
Look, Mr. Rathbone. Now look!
Mr. Benny, when I spoke to you on the telephone, I thought I made it perfectly clear that...
Good evening, everybody.
Oh, look, here's Claudette.
Oh, hello, Claudette. Yeah.
Well, here we are.
Put the coffee down here, Richard.
Yes, madame.
Can we talk, Mr. Lubitsch?
No, thank you.
Coffee, Basil?
Yes, please, yeah.
I'll have some, too.
Oh, here you are, Jack.
Thank you. Gee, Claudette, this is the better coffee I ever tasted.
Mr. Benny.
Yes?
The word is bet.
There are only two of us drinking it. Make up your mind. Well, we're all here, so let's get started with the rehearsal.
Now, just one moment. Ernst. Let's get this settled for Mr. Benny's benefit, shall we? Is he or is he not replacing me in the play?
Certainly not. That's ridiculous.
Of course it's ridiculous.
Why, it's absurd.
You stay out of it. The butler, yes.
Then, Mr. Benny, I'd like to know why you said that Mr. Lubitsch recommended the change.
I didn't say that. I said that Miss Colbert suggested it.
I suggested nothing of the kind.
But Claudette...
Please, please, stop all this bickering. Now, Jack... If you like to watch the rehearsal, take a chair and be quiet.
Yes, sir. Oh, Claudette, is it all right if I have some of these walnuts here?
Go right ahead. Help yourself, Jack.
Thanks. Big one.
Now, Claudette, you too, Basil. If you both turn to page 12 in the script, we will proceed.
Boy. These nuts are good.
Now, Claudette. You are a wealthy society girl who is married to a New York stockbroker. That's you, Basil. But he does not love you, Claudette. And as the French say, it is a marriage of convenience.
Gee, that was a tough one.
Mr. Benny, will you stop eating those nuts?
Well, Claudette said I could. Anyway, Mr. Lubitsch, I don't want to sit around here like a bump on a log. If I can't have the lead in the play, isn't there something I can do?
All right. If it makes you happy, you can play the part of the butler.
The butler? Okay.
Here's your script.
Thanks.
Now remember, Claudette, you're the wife. Basil, you're the husband who doesn't understand that. And Jack?
I'm the butler whom Claudette really loves.
You are the butler, that's all.
Okay. Heavens to Betsy.
All right, Claudette, now we start the scene. Remember, your husband is 2 hours late for dinner, and you are a nervous wreck.
Yes, Mr. Lubitsch, I understand.
Go ahead, call the butler.
Yes. Oh, Smedley. Smedley.
Yes, madame. Smedley, yes. What is it, madame?
Are you sure my husband hasn't phoned?
No, madame.
But I can't understand it. What time is it, Smedley?
It's 8:30. Shall I serve dinner, madame?
No, Smedley, I'm much too upset to eat. I think I'll go to a movie. What's playing in the village?
Buck Benny Rides Again.
That's not in the script. Read the lines, please.
Well, it doesn't hurt to give my picture a plug. It doesn't change the plot any, does it? For heaven's sake.
Read the way it's written.
All right. Give me that again, Claudette.
Okay. No, Smedley. I'm much too upset to eat. I think I'll go to a movie. What's playing in the village?
Nanotchka. How's that?
Much better.
And Buck Benny rides again. It's a double feature.
Jack, please.
All right, I'll start over again. Shall I serve dinner, madame?
No, Smedley. I'm much too upset to eat. I think I'll go to a movie. It's Boomtown playing in the Village.
Well, we got them all in.
Very good, Claudette. Now, at this point, the husband enters the room.
Not ready, hon.
Oh, Mr. Lubitsch, let me ask you something. When Basil comes in, or Basil... By the way, how do you pronounce that? Basil or Basil?
Mr. Rathbone.
Oh. Well, when Mr. Rathbone comes
in... Oh, just read the lines, Jack. I handle the rest.
All right, all right. A fine director.
What did you say?
I said you're a fine director. I think you're wonderful.
Ready, Basil. Make your entrance.
Righto. Oh, good evening, darling. So sorry I'm late.
Oh, Ronald, you're always late, and you're always sorry. It's been like this for months. What's come between us? If I only knew, maybe we could work things out.
It's nothing, my dear. It's just that I've been so busy lately at the office. Let's forget it.
Dinner is served. Oh, pardon me. I'm too soon.
Ronald, I can't forget it. We must come to some understanding. This can't go on forever.
Gwen, let's be adult about the whole thing, shall we? Every night it's the same argument, this constant nagging, nagging, nagging. I tell you, I've been working at the office.
But I phoned your office and they said you left at 2 this afternoon.
Well, I have business at the bank. And besides, I forgot where I parked my car.
Fine Sherlock Holmes can't even find his car.
Jack, stop interrupting, please.
Right.
Continue, Claudette.
Oh, it's no use, Ronald. I know you're lying. Look at you. Everything you say, everything you do gives you away.
Now, Gwen.
What's that on your collar? Is it lipstick?
It ain't ketchup.
Jack, please.
Well, I don't want to stand around here like a dope.
But you got the line right now. Say it.
Oh, yes. Beg pardon, madame. The dinner is served.
Jack, Jack, don't use such a thick accent.
You should talk. Beg pardon, madame. A dinner is served.
Now, Jack, don't be so highbrow.
All right, the soup's on. Come and get it. I don't know how Garbo put up with him.
What's that about Garbo?
Nothing. I can have her on my mind, can't I? Gee.
All right, let's have that line again.
Beg pardon, madame. Dinner is served. Take it or leave it.
Dinner. Come along, Gwen.
No, we're not having dinner, Ronald. Not until we've reached a definite understanding.
Well, I'm hungry.
Ronald, I can't go through another day of this uncertainty. I must know. Do you love me or not?
Of course I love you.
You're lying, Ronald. Lying.
Very well, then. I'm lying.
Gee.
You might as well know the truth, Gwen. I've never loved you. Never.
Jeez, I must be crazy.
If you weren't so stupid, you'd have known it long ago.
Ronald, what are you saying?
Gee.
I married you for your money. That's all. Everybody else knew it. If you weren't such a blind, silly little fool, you'd have realized it yourself.
Ronald, stop!
Well, Gwen, now you know how things stand, and the sooner you give me a divorce, the happier I'll be.
No, I'll never divorce you, Ronald. I couldn't live without you. I couldn't.
Tears, tears, woman's tears. Oh, stop the dramatics.
Ronald!
I'm moving to my club. Smedley, pack my clothes.
I wouldn't touch your dirty clothes.
Lines. You are servants.
I don't care. Gee.
Continue, Basil.
Well, goodbye, Gwen. I'm going to the club. Our attorneys can get together tomorrow.
Don't go, Ronald. Please don't go.
Stop hanging on to me.
No, I won't give you up. I won't. I won't.
Stop it, I say. Let go of me.
No.
Don't take that.
Oh. That's the last straw. Take off your coat, Rathbone.
Jack, that's only a play.
Nothing. One of those dukes, Basil. Put him up. Also, I'm an old man now, eh? Why?
Jack, if you don't behave yourself, you can't be in the play.
The heck with the play.
If you think I'm going to stand by and see this cat strike the woman I love.
The woman you love?
Yes, Claudette. You might as well know it now. I've been crazy about you for years.
Jack, please.
I don't care who knows it. I don't care if the whole world knows it. I love you, Claudette. And that's why I was carried away. I'd give anything to be in a play with you, but I'm afraid I can't go through with it. Goodbye, gentlemen. Goodbye, my love.
My goodness, I barely know the man.
I'll take it, bud.
Hello. Roger Pryor speaking.
Hello, Roger. This is Jack Benny.
Who?
Jack Benny, the little man who wasn't there.
Oh, Jack, what's on your mind?
Well, I've been listening to the broadcast, and that's not the way it happened at all. The reason I'm not on that show tonight is because Mr. Lubitsch is a pal of Rathbone. It's just policy.
But Mr. Lubitsch said...
I don't care what he said. And incidentally, I'd like to talk to him. Put him on the phone.
Well, I'll see if I can get him, Jack. Hold on a minute, will you?
I say, bud, Jack Benny's on the phone. Keep him happy while I find Lubitsch for him.
Okay.
Hello, Jack. How are you?
Hello, Mr. Lubitsch. Where's your dialect?
This is Bud Heaston, Jack.
And oh.
Say, is it true that you're getting a new car?
Look, Bud, I'd like
because
to speak...
Because if you are, I'd advise you to use Gulf's new stepped-up gasoline. Either good Gulf or Gulf No-Knox. You'll find them fully worthy of the finest modern cars.
Oh, is that so?
Yes, and if you don't get a new car, if you keep your old junkie... I mean, your Maxwell... you'll find that the new Gulf gasolines will give you more pickup, more power, more of that new car feeling.
Now, look, if Mr. Lubitsch...
In fact, I'd like to urge everybody to stop at the sign of the Gulf Orange Disc and fill up with good Gulf or with Gulf No-Knox, America's two great stepped-up gasoline.
I see. Now, Bud, about Mr. Lubitsch, I'd like to...
Deposit 5 cents for an additional 3 minutes, please.
What?
Oh, hold on, Jack. Here comes Mr. Lubitsch now.
Let it go. I'll send him a postcard. Goodbye.
Thank you, Claudette Colbert, Jack Benny, Basil Rathbone, Edward Arnold, and Ernst Lubitsch. And thanks to Bill Morrow and Ed Belloin for your great script. It was a swell show and for a really great cause. Of course, you know, ladies and gentlemen, that the money Gulf would ordinarily give to the stars who appear here goes instead to the Motion Picture Relief Fund to care for those in the picture industry who can no longer provide for themselves. Next Sunday night, ladies and gentlemen, the Star's Own Theater brings you Gene Arthur, Jeffrey Lynn, and Walter Pigeon in Jezebel, with music by Oscar Bradley's Gulf Orchestra with Frank Tours conducting. Until then, this is Roger Pryor speaking for your neighborhood good Gulf dealer and reminding you that we have a date next week at the same time. Listen in, won't you? Don't be left in the cold this winter. Sign a Gulf furnace oil contract now. Get reliable delivery and price protection. Phone your nearest Gulf office or Gulf furnace oil dealer. Basil Rathbone is heard on the Sherlock Holmes program every Sunday night and may be currently seen in the 20th Century Fox picture, The California. Jack Benny will soon be seen in Paramount's Love Thy Neighbor. Claudette Colbert's latest for Paramount is Arise, My Love, soon to be released. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.